So, prayer. The last time I talked at a Pip and Jim's event, I included these words in the sermon. How is prayer for you? Is it a first resource or a last resort? How you answer that, I suspect, shows you the state of your relationship with God at the moment. Now, I've been pondering my own question on and off since then. How is prayer for you? Do you consistently turn to God in prayer as the day goes by, with God as your constant companion? Just as, say, some people seem to live their lives on social media, putting up pictures of every meal and relaying everything that happens to them. And whilst that might be annoying to the rest of us, God loves it when we include him in all of the aspects of life. As many of you know, my own son, Ben, didn't talk more than a few words until he was almost 5 years old. Now he is the most talkative of our three children. And it's a delight even now to be told such nuggets as, "Daddy, Mummy's come home," when I've already greeted her. There is the delight in me still of hearing him talk and express himself, even when he resorts to sign language because his mouth is too busy eating, or perhaps his brain is too tired for words. And for me, that's a bit like the groans that we're told that the Spirit within us has, as deep calls to deep, as the Holy Spirit within us communicates with the Trinity when our own brains are fried or too busy or too tired. It's really easy, though, isn't it, to think that we can do life in our own strength. To live as what a friend of mine once called a functional atheist. Somebody who functions as if God isn't there or isn't interested in us. Because so often it seems that we pray and we're not quite convinced whether God has either, yes, we know he's heard because we trust that he's heard, but has responded, certainly not responded in the ways that we'd like him to respond. And so it's quite easy to get into this habit of living functionally as if God doesn't exist, even though we are people of faith. We know that we have brains that God has given us and we're called to use them. And yes, we don't actually need to ask God, which colour socks shall I put on this morning? Unless, of course, God is wanting to use the colour of your socks in a particular way this day, in somehow reaching out to somebody in his beautiful creation. So there is a conundrum that we are independent beings, and yet we are people who are called to pray, to bring everything to God in prayer. I do struggle, though, sometimes, because we sometimes want to pray for healing. And yes, of course, we want to pray for healing, but we also know that eventually all of us will die. And so we want God's kingdom to come now, in this time and place, and yet we struggle because we know that actually, eventually, old age, sickness will overtake our mortal bodies. And sometimes God's best is to release individuals from the bondage of this earth, from that decaying of our bodies. So I do wonder sometimes whether we need to think carefully about what we are praying. Whether for some people there is that sense of needing to pray for God's peace rather than for God's healing. But let's not stray too far from the passage. We've had a reading about prayer, about Paul's prayer for the church, ostensibly at Ephesus, although many copies of the letter just talk about it's to God's holy people, potentially in that region around Ephesus. So this isn't particular to one congregation, although of course it's particular to the first century expression of faith. But Paul, in that prayer, or in that passage, reflects what he has prayed for. He recognizes that they have come to faith, that they've been marked with the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And therefore, he doesn't stop giving thanks for them. He keeps remembering them in his prayers. And we too have that calling to give thanks for the faith of others around us, don't we? As we see others come to faith, as we celebrate with the Sheilas and the Tonys and the Scots of this world who want to express their faith in very tangible ways, their newfound faith. So we want to keep praying for them, giving thanks for their faith. But equally, asking God then, verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Paul's desire is not that we would be dependent on others to explain God to us, but that we would for ourselves have a spirit of wisdom, of revelation, that we ourselves would know God better. Because we all have the same access to the Father. Paul goes on and prays that the eyes of our heart, your heart, may be enlightened in order that we might know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Do you remember those days when the good news was new news? When you couldn't stop talking about how amazing it was that God loves us, God forgives us, God reconciles us, God adopts us into his family and wants to spend eternity with us. Paul's prayer then was that we would recapture those days, that we would again be enlightened, that we might again know again the hope to which God has called us. The hope that means that we don't just live for this life, but that we live for for eternity. And so this life is, if you like, a means of enabling that our souls don't get so much of a shock when we get to heaven. So we get used to worshipping and prayer and interacting with God, but equally that we are left on earth because it's through us, usually, that others come to faith. It's through our words, our actions, our activity, our prayer even, that God then moves in the hearts of others. Our calling is to be people that know the hope that God has called us to. So I wonder how often you dwell on those pictures of heaven, of those myriads of people, of all ethnicities, of all nations, worshipping the Lord. Of that sense, of that continuing praise of God. Holy, holy is the Lord. So the angels, we're told, continue to echo before the throne of God Almighty. This is the kind of richness of inheritance that we as God's people are offered. Not out of our holiness, but because of God's willingness to forgive us. But too, God gives us his incomparably great power for us who believe. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, after all. And we live as functional atheists. We live as if that power isn't for us. What if we changed our minds? What if we changed our outlook and said, actually, all the resources of heaven are on our side. So let's be bold in seeking God, in seeking God's intervention in this world, in asking that God would move in power through us. Don't forget, this is Paul's prayer for this people group he's never met. That so many of whom he's never met, at least. that the incomparably great power that we would know and experience, not just know, but know in our experiences, that huge power of God that works in and through us. And Paul is so taken with this that the last few verses of that prayer just help us to see far more of that sense of God, of Paul's praise and understanding of God. Let me read it to you. So that power is the same power, as same as the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. Not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his, Christ's feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. The church which is his body. That's a whole new metaphor, and possibly best left for another day. But that sense that together we form the body. Together we do this. Christian faith, friends, is so much better done together. When we can encourage each other, when we can hold each other to the task. To my mind, it's absolutely no surprise that Jesus sent out his disciples in twos. Because one could say to the other, come on, this is the task we've given. But one on their own might just go to hide in a bush. Whereas we are called to be people who together form the body of Christ in this area, through this community of faithful. So will you live with prayer as your first resource? With prayer as the thing that you do to include God in every aspect of life?